I also want to thank all the chavayim, chavayis, sponsors, and all of the chevra who are helping to put things together. I know it's very hard, right before Yontiv and all the hachanis, it's hard to go out, to be out. It's not like going on a Shabbos, and it's something which pains me that just the physical situation is hard on Shabbos for the Olam. So we wanted to make it as easy as possible. The whole Geula is because of Mesiras Nefesh. So certainly in the schus of the Mesiras Nefesh of Jews to prepare for Yontiv, preparing physically, preparing ruchnis, that she goes Hashem bring the gula bakar. Ma'isa Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Rebbe Akiva, Shahayim Sum, Rebbe Bnei Brak. Everybody knows the story. The Maisa with the great Tanoim of Eliezer, Yeshua, Belazar ben Azariah, Rebbe Akiva, from a Subin were sitting Pesach night in Bnei Brak. And they were telling the story of Yisias Mitzrayim Kalaisa Halayla the entire night. Ad Shabo Talmideim Va'amru Ham Rabbi Seinu Yisman Kishma Shashachas. Until the students came, the Talmidim came and said, Rabbi Seinu, the time has arrived for Kriyishma Shashachas. This is a Kriyishma of the morning. And immediately afterwards in Haggadah, the Maimer of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was one of those Tanoim in Bnei Brak, Harianik Ivan Shivim Shana of Lazachisi Shetayomi Tzis and Sain Belelos. I am like 70 years old, and I haven't been Zaycha. Lazachisi, I haven't been Zaycha to understand, to know from where is the obligation to speak of Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos at night. Achadarsha ben Zayim, everybody knows the Matiska, Sim Seis, Chemer Zayim, Kal Yimei Chayacha, and so on. Now the Maisa that happened in Bnei Brak, the story of what took place in Bnei Brak, we understand how it belongs in the Haggadah and how it fits into the Seder Lel Pesach, that we understand. Because we were just saying, Avodim Hayinu L'Paro in Mitzrayim, that we were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. And we went on and we said, the more we tell the story, the more we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Harezim Shubach, the more praiseworthy, the more wonderful it is. So therefore we understand. What better way to show the greatness of telling the story than telling us about the Tanoim who was sitting in Bnei Brak? And how you misapim the Yitzias Mitzrayim Kaloisa Halayla. And they spent the entire evening telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the question is, why does the Baal Haggadah bring the din of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is talking about the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema every night of the year. And what special relationship does that have to the night of the Seder? And why does that belong in the Haggadah, the Lel Pesach, in the Seder Lel Pesach? It belongs in the Gemara and Brachas, it's telling us the halachas of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, the halachas of saying Kriya Shema at night. Why is it in the Seder? And there's another story in the Gemara. And you'll recognize the names. These are familiar names. For those who remember the names I said around 20 seconds ago. The Krahaya, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, Mahalchen Bader. The Gemara at the end of Mark is that everybody has heard. Those who have learned it, learned it. Those who have been sitting by Siyumim have heard it in Siyum. Those who have cried and laughed on Tisha B'Av are familiar with the Gemara, that these great leaders of the Jewish people, these great Tanoim, they were Mahalchen Bederach. They were going someplace. They were Mahalchen Bederach. Three of these Tanoim were among those who were sitting in Bnei Brak, Kol Oisa Halayla, that night. The question is, where were they going to? And when it says that they were Mahalchen Bederach, Mahalchen Bederach means that they're still going. They're still going, Mahalchen Bederach. They haven't yet arrived. Where were they going? Shuv Pamachas Hayoilin Yerushalayim. Everybody knows, everybody's familiar with the Gemara. They were going to Yerushalayim. They came in Shegila Harat Soifim, and when they came to Harat Soifim, to Mount Scopus, Harat Soifim, Karu Bigdayim, they tore Kriya. They tore their garments, and Kaven Shegila Harabayis, when they came to the Harabayis, to the Temple Mount, Kaven Shegila Harabayis, Rose Shual Shiyotzim Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. They saw a fox that was running out from the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, the Holy of Holies. Hischilu Hein Boichin, Rabbi Akiva Mitzachek, because everybody knows that the other Tanoim who are older than Rabbi Akiva, the other Tanoim began to cry. And Rabbi Akiva began to laugh. Now we have to understand, everybody tore Kriya. Everybody tore their garments, including Rabbi Akiva. And of course Rabbi Akiva felt the pain of the Churban. He felt the pain of the destruction. He felt the humiliation of looking at the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and watching an animal, a tumah, running around in that place of the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. He felt the pain like everybody else. And therefore the Gemara tells us that he also tore his garments. He was laughing with torn garments. He was laughing. So it would strike us as being very strange. A few weeks ago, it's actually more than a month ago, we were coming back from Eretz Yisrael, and there's a Tyre Yid that I know, that whenever I see him, whenever I meet him, he tells me jokes. This has been going on for many years. Whenever I see him, he tells me jokes. He's very funny. And some of the jokes are actually good. But I always enjoy his company. He's a lichtige mensch, a happy person. So when I saw him in the airport, as we were going to the line to board the, or to go to the next shlav, I saw him standing there, and I was so happy to see him. And I was ready for a couple of good jokes. I went over to him, and I saw that he wasn't with his usual smile. And I looked close and I saw that his jacket was torn and his shirt was torn. And he told me, Rabbi, what could I tell you? My father was Nifta. I came to Eretz Yisrael for the Levaya. And then he told me a joke. But it was a joke that came from a very deep place. Rabbi Kiva was laughing. He was laughing while wearing the torn garments of a Jew in mourning. So there's no question. People like us can't be masig the heart of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva himself said that Shir Shirim is Kodesh Kadosh. We are not able to fathom the depths of the heart of Rabbi Akiva and the pain that he felt. Each and every one of us feels sick when we look up at the Arabayas and we see the mask sitting over there. We see the tumma, which is worse than a fox running around in the Arabayas. And each and every one of us feels that pain. And who? We're nobody. So Rabbi Akiva certainly felt that pain. And he tore his garments, but he was laughing. Amrulai, so you all know the story. Amrulai, b'neimata mitzafik. So the tzaddikim asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? Amrulahem b'neimata mbaychim. And he asked them, why are you crying? Ever since I first heard that Gemara as a child, I was bothered by Rabbi Akiva's question. If somebody stood staring at the barbed wire in Auschwitz, if somebody stood even in Yad Vashem many years later, and the person would be crying, would you go over and ask the person, why are you crying? So Rabbi Akiva asks the tzaddikim, "Mipneimatam boichem." Their question was a good question. Why are you laughing? Why are you standing there with a torn coat laughing? But Rabbi Akiva's question, "Mipneimatam boichem," is a peril. It's a wonder. But the answer is haflidic. The answer is going to open up something for us to take a trip through the Seder. Amrulai, Mokim Shekosuv Bai, Vahazara Karev, you must be asking, Rabbi Akiva, you're asking us, why are we crying? This place that we're staring at now with an animal running. Regarding this place, it says in Posik, Vahazara Karev, you must. Anybody who's not a Kohen, forget about an animal. If someone's not a Kohen, and he would be going over there, Vazara Karev Yumas, he would die, he'd be put to death. Va'achshav Shualim Hilchubai, and now there are foxes running around over there. V'loi Nivkin, we shouldn't cry. Now listen carefully, Rabbi Sahi. It's really be better a little bit with maybe with a blackboard or something. So try to imagine. The truth is that the tzaddik and the chachamim, in their explanation to Rabbi Akiva, why are we crying? The truth is that they're quoting two psukim, correct? The first pasuk is a pasuk by Midbar, what? Azar HaKarev Yumas. Someone who's not a kohen would be walking over here in the Kodesh Kedoshim, he'd be put to death. And then they said that this very same place, regarding which it says in Torah of Azara Karev Yumas, this very same place, Shualim Hilchu Bai, there are foxes going over here, V'loi Nivke. Does that pasuk sound, do those words sound familiar to you? Shualim Hilchu Bai. I mentioned a moment ago Tisha B'Av. It says in the Megillas Eicha, that posik is the posik in Megillas Eicha, al hartziyin sheshomein, shualim hilchuba. We're crying because hartziyin is desolate, and shualim, and there are foxes that are running around. The Novi Yirmiyah said that a long time ago. But listen, how the Chachamim said the psukim to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, "Why are you crying?" So the answer was, Mokim Shekosuv Bai, the place regarding which it is written, Mokim Shekosuv Bai, Vazara Karev Yumas, that place regarding which it is written, Hazarakar of Yumas. And then it should have said, V'achshav Miskayim HaKosev, and now the Pasuk that says, Al Hartziyah and Shoshomim Shualim Hilchubay is being fulfilled. But they didn't say that. They said, this place of the Kodesh Kodashim is the place which is Kosev by, it's written regarding this place, that Hazarakar of Yumas, that a stranger who goes in this place, a non-Kohen, gets killed. And now look what's happening. They didn't say it's written Shualim Hilchubay. Look what's happening here. Shualim Hilchubay. There are animals running over here by the Kodesh Kodashim. See, here there's a gewaltige insight by one of the great Gaonim of the last generation, the Sri Da'esh, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. The Sri Da'esh brings another famous Gemara, the Gemara at the end of Ksubas. The Gemara at the end of Ksubas is talking about the chavivus, the love that the Jewish people have for Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara there tells us a number of stories to demonstrate the unbelievable love that the Amoraim had for Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says over there that Rabbi Abba was kissing Hayimanashi, he was kissing the stones by Akko, because Akko was the entrance into Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Abba went on the floor and he started kissing the rats of Akko as he entered into Eretz Yisrael, to kiss those stones of Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Chanina, it says, was Mesakin Adroch, Rabbi Chanina, the Godel Hador, would work to fix the roads and the pathways of Eretz Yisrael. He'd get on his knees on the floor, like a common laborer, because of his love for Eretz Yisrael, and he would fix the roads. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda Mignada Biafar, that Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda would throw himself in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, and he would roll in the dirt. He would be Mizgoylel in the offer. He would roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, why did he do such a thing? So the Gemara says, Shenemar, because it's written in the Pasuk, Ki rotsu avadecha es avaneha, v'esafora yichayninu. Your servants have cherished her stones and loved her dust, her dirt. So the Gemara says, this is why Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, when he would come to Eretz Yisrael, he would roll in the offer. Because it's written in the Pasuk, Ki rotsu avadecha es avaneha v'esafora yichayninu. So we take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over there, this Rashi is so difficult that there are some who claim that it's a mistake. It's a printing mistake. This is how Rashi explains this Gemara. Remember the Gemara. Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda rolls in the dirt. The Gemara says, because it's written, this Pasuk, Ki rotsu avadecha es avaneha v'esafora yichayninu. Rashi says over there, Ki rotsu avadecha es avaneha v'esafora yichayninu. Rashi just says the Pasuk again. He just says the Pasuk. So there are those that say that it just must be a mistake, that for whatever reason, when they were printing it, that they printed the Pasuk again in Rashi, that really Rashi didn't say anything. But the Sri Dei says, there's an oimik, this is the deepest Rashi. And this Rashi is revealing the most amazing thing. The Sri Dei says that Rashi brings the exact words of the Pasuk. He just omitted one word from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shene'emar, because it is written. And Rashi says over the Pasuk, But he leaves out the word Shenemar. And this, it is written, and this itself, the Sweet A says, is the most unbelievable commentary on who Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda was and what he was doing by rolling in the dirt. What's the pshat? Rashi wanted to teach us that Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda was not rolling in the dirt because he had read this pasuk in Tanakh. It's not because of reading a pasuk in Tanakh, even though he knew that pasuk, he knew the whole Tanakh. You know, if somebody goes out on a date, and they've gone out, let's say, 12, 13 times, which now in circles is considered to be a considerable amount of times, although sometimes they do it in 3 days, but if they've gone out 12 or 13 times, and the bacher and the girl's getting all hopeful that maybe this is it, she's been dating for years, and this guy is gewaldic, and she's hoping this is it, and the bacher, and it's just the right moonlight, you know what I'm saying? Everything is perfect. This is from Sheshis Yimei Breishis. Everything is, they had the best meal, they were eating in the best place, and they went and they're strolling along the boardwalk in Atlantic Beach, gewaldic. And she thinks this is it. She's ready, he's going to pop the big question. Right? This is it. This is the big day. And this is what he says, in true form to the Yeshiva Baruch. He says, listen to this, Rabbi say, he says, he closes his eyes and he chuckles. Right there on the boardwalk in Atlantic Beach. And he says, my Rebbe told me to ask you to marry you, to marry me. My Rebbe said I should ask you tonight that maybe you want to get married. That's what my Rebbe told me. It could be Shidduch altogether. Forget about that proposal. That's for sure not going to go. It could be the whole Shidduch is fulfilled. My Rebbe told me, Shenemar, because it is written, Kikach Isha, my Rebbe told me, it says in Chumash, I should get married. Well, that would be a similar style. Not that my Rebbe told me, but he turns to him and says, Chai Shprinza, I have something to ask you. Yes, Yanki, yes. Chai Shprinza, you learn Chumash Epis a little bit. You know, it says in the Pasuk, Yikach Ish Isha. It says in the Pasuk. I know my wife is still disappointed that I proposed to her by giving her a sefer with a ring hidden in the back of the sefer. And she, because she knows that was a sefer that I wanted anyway, and I figure we can get married. So I might as well get her the sefer, and I can knock off both with one, you know, with one sefer. So listen, what's Rashi? What the Sweet A says, a Ga'ain is a brilliant thing, the Sweet A says. The Gemara says that Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda was rolling in the dirt of Eretz. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He was rolling in the dirt. The Gemara says, it says tak in the Pasuk. What? It says in the Pasuk, Kirotzo Avedechas Avanea, that it says in the Pasuk that your servants have cherished her stones on the earth of Eretz Yisrael. The Sweet A says, Rashi just brings the Pasuk, but he leaves out Shenemar, because it is written, because Rashi wants to tell us that even though Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda knew all of Tanakh, his love of Eretz Yisrael threw him upon the earth, you understand? It's not that Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda was standing there and he came to something, he says, let me see. Oh, it's written. It says in the Pasuk, I'm one of God's servants, here I go. And then he drops onto the floor. So Rashi takes out the word Shenemar. You hear this? Because it is written. Rashi takes out that word. The Sweet A says that Rashi takes out the word because Rashi wants to tell us that it's not that he did it because it's written. He did it because he was on fire, because that's who he was. There are certain Jews that they keep Torah Mitzvahs because why? Shekach Ne'emar. As I state, and Shenemar. My Rebbe told me. Shenemar. The whole Yiddishkeit is Shenemar. So it says in Pasuk, or somebody else told me, because I don't know what it says in the Pasuk. So my Rebbe told me. Or my father told me. Or my grandfather, my grandmother told me. Shenemar. As I state, it is written someplace. that the whole Yiddishkeit is not because this is who I am, but because this is what's written that I should do. Which is also a madrega, by the way. Of course it's a madrega. To do what's written is a gewaltige madrega. But Rashi took out the word shenemar to say that the tzaddik threw himself upon the dirt of Eretz Yisrael because he himself, in the atzmius of who he was, is completely a kiyum of that pasuk. Not because it's written, because that's who I am. Some of you might remember, I told you, Maisa, one of the biggest chassidim of the Alter Rebbe, Baal Tanya, was Reb Shmuel Munkis. He was also unbelievably sharp and funny, Reb Shmuel. Now the Baal Tanya gave his shiur once a week. Well, only the most elite, the highest of all the Talmidim, there wasn't even a minion, each one was a gadol b'Yisrael, was allowed to come to that special shiur that the Tanya gave that day. There was such a rotzen on the part of the olam there to hear it that they had to put boards on the windows. That they would nail boards onto the windows so that the other people shouldn't come to hear the shiur. It wasn't for them. The chassidim used to hang out around the house of the Alter Rebbe and wait for the tzaddikim to come out. And they would try to ask him a few things, to say something over that they heard by the shiur. So one time it happened that they all came out of the shiur, and Reb Shmuel Munkis came out. And he ran over to a tree. He ran over to a tree and he started to scream to Chassidim to bring some rope. And the Chassidim ran. Reb Shmuel wants rope. And Reb Shmuel said to the Chassidim, tie me up to this tree. And they tied Reb Shmuel up to the tree. And this is right in front of the Tanya's house. They tie him up right in front of the Tanya's house on this tree. And Reb Shmuel is standing over there. And all the Chassidim, they don't know. They're laughing. They don't know what's going on. So Shmuel Munkis is now, there's a whole island there looking at Shmuel tied up to the tree. Shmuel says, you know, if you go to a shoe store, so the Chenvani, the owner of the shoe store, he wants to show you what kind of good schoir is inside. He puts his best shoes in the window, right? And that gives you an idea of what might be in there. Of what's in the shoe store. You go to a clothing store, they put a nice suit, the nicest suit, they put a beautiful suit in the window. So because inside, a person looks in the window and says, ooh, there's good stuff in there. So Shmuel Munkis start to scream, you want to know who lives in that house? Meaning the Baal Tanya. You want to know who lives in that house? Look at me. Shmuel Munkis. Before I met that man, I was worthless, I was nobody, I was nothing. And now look at me, I'm an Erlich Hayid. Because of that man in that house, I'm an Erlich Hayid. I myself am an advertisement for the person who lives in that house. I myself, he made me into an Erlich Hayid. Or like one of Rabbi Nachman's disciples said, somebody asked one of Rabbi Nachman's great Talmidim, do you remember any miracles that you saw by Rabbi Nachman? You know, everybody likes to hear exciting stories. Do you remember any nisim you saw by Rabbi Nachman? So the Talmud said, look at me. I am an ace. I was, again, he says, I was a worthless nothing. And Rabbi Nachman made me into a Jew. That's bigger than any nace of the Kriyas Yamsuf of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That he took a worthless person like me and he made me into a Jew. There is a point in a person's life. Whereas Yiddishkeit is not just a matter of so it is written, so I was told. There's a point in the life of a Jew, of some Jews, where the person himself becomes the pasuk. He is the king. He himself is the advertisement of the pasuk. Hirotzu avadechas avaneha. We don't begin with the pasuk, we look at the tzaddik. And the tzaddik is on fire with that metzias. Of a Jew throwing himself on the dirt of Eretz Yisrael because he cherishes every stone. This is the pshat of the Sridesh in Rashi there in the Gemara. That itself is a hafladik pshat. Now one of the Chachmei Yerushalayim, who he was eichet to have as a guest here in the shul some years ago, Rav Alon. He applies this Sridesh, which is known in the yeshiva as this Sridesh. He applies this to the Gemara that we were talking about in Makkos. Remember the Gemara? Rabbi Akiva's colleagues are shocked by his laughter. Right? Rabbi Akiva's chaverim and Rebbe, they can't understand. Mipnei ma'at mitzafek, why are you laughing? In effect, what they're saying to Rabbi Akiva is the following. They're saying, our dear friend Rabbi Akiva, you think that we don't know Tanakh? You don't think that we ever went through Yeshaya HaNavi? You don't think that we know Nachamu Nachamu Ami with Kalabach's Nigin? You don't think we know all the nice psukim? Anoich Anoich Nachamchem Dabro Lev Yushalayim. You think that we don't know the psukim? Rabbi Akiva's friends tell him, we know the psukim from before you were born. We know all the psukim. All the psukim, Nechama, the beautiful psukim of Nechama, that Hashem comforts us and is mechazik us. We know all the psukim. But there's a big problem in our lives right now. The problem in our life right now, in our lives right now, is that we've come to a moment of life where on the one hand, we know in our brains, in our minds, we know Masha Kosov. We know Voshtet in Pasuk. We know what it says in Yeshaya. We know what the Nevi'im said. We know the promises of Hashem that he said to us in Tanakh. We know Masha Kosov. We know the Masha Ne'amar. But what we know and what we remember from Tanakh, which is every pasuk in Tanakh, is clashing and conflicting with the frightening and bitter reality of what we're looking at with our eyes. So, on the one hand, the Rebbeinu Shlom said a gewaldige pasuk in Chumash, Hazar HaKarev Yumas, any non-Kohen that walks into this place, he's going to die. That means certainly an animal should drop dead on the place. And certainly our enemies should all drop dead in this place. They shouldn't be able to walk over here and to mock us and to make fun of us and to roast marshmallows on the fires of the Churban. Why should that? Because it says in Pasuk, Hazar HaKarev Yumas, Kamesha Kosov. It's written, Hazar HaKarev Yumas. And you know what, Rabbi Akiva? Maybe someplace in the world is that Pasuk is being kept by Hashem, and there's some Russia who's doing something bad, and God is zapping him like we always hope for. All the times in life, you know, they'd be walking someplace and you get somebody screaming out something anti-Semitic from the window, and I'm certain that he's going to crash into a wall as he gets to the end of the block. But he always just glides off into the sunset, laughing. So you stand there thinking, but Rabbi Shlomo says in Pasuk, Mikam Chiyisro, Ahavti Yisro, Bonim Atem, right? You said such delicious psukim. Rabbi Shalom, nobody says vetlech like you. You have the most beautiful words. You have the most beautiful pshetlech. Everything is beautiful in Tanakh. The problem is, the promises of Tanakh are written in Tanakh, and the tzaddikim say we know what it says in the psukim, but Rabbi Akiva, in all due respect, it doesn't say mashin kamesha kosov shu alim hilchubai. They didn't say, and as it is written, there are foxes running through the Kodesh Kedoshim. They didn't say kosov, it is written. The metzias is that there are animals lamaisa running over here right now. That's the metzias, it's not a pasuk. So we know the good psukim. We know that it says nice things, what's going to be in the future.
And we believe in Hashem, we believe in Tanakh, and we believe in all the Shene'emars because it is written.
But we feel the sting of the Churban on our flesh. We smell the smoke. We smell the stench of dead bodies of Kahanim lying there in the fire. That's not a pasuk. That's why they didn't quote the pasuk Shenemar Shualim Hilchubai. They said like this: Hamokim Shekosu by the place regarding which it is written. It's written in pasuk. Says in Chumash Hazarakar of Yumas. If a guy goes over there, you're not a kohen. You should drop that on the spot. Good. It says on the pasuk. But in that place regarding which it is written, Hazarakar of Yumas, Shualim Hilchubai. Not it is written Shualim Hilchubai. What do you mean it's written? Take a look, they're right over there. You can see them yourself. The Shualim are going over there. The animals are running there by the Harabayas, by the Kodesh Kadosh. So what they're saying is, Rabbi Akiva, we love you and we respect you, and we know what the Tanakh says, and we know the beautiful psukim, the beautiful vetlach that Hashem told us through His Nevi'im. But the Netzias is Shu'alim Hilchubay V'lay Nivka. The reality is there are animals going here. They're not getting hit by any bolt of lightning. That's the reality. That pasuk is not something I have to quote, the Chacham is saying. We don't have to quote the pasuk. It's not a quotation. It's not a quotation. That's what's happening. There's a quotation that somebody who goes here is supposed to die. Okay, that's a quotation. But the fact is that there are animals running by the Kodesh Kadosh. That's not a quotation. It doesn't say in the Gemara, they didn't say Shekosov. They said the Metzias is Shualim Hilchubay. There are animals. There's a tumor by the Kodesh Kadosh. V'loy Nivke. And we shouldn't cry. V'loy Nivke, we shouldn't cry. I say Rabbi Akiva's answer. Rabbi Akiva's answer. And if I say this is a mafteach, this can open up for us to understand the whole Indian of Lel Pesach. I'll do it very quickly for a second because you're all familiar with the Gemara. It's the very end of Makkos. Omelan lakachani mitzachik. Rabbi Akiva says, you know why I'm laughing? I'll tell you why I'm laughing. Lakachani mitzachik. Says in the pasuk, the Navi Yeshaya brings together two different people from two different times, from the first bias and the second bias. V'chima inyan Uriah etzel Zchariah, Uriah b'mikdash rishon, Zchariah b'mikdash sheni. So why does the same pasuk, I have two witnesses, Hashem says, that it's going to be good, it's going to be okay. Ela tola kosim nivosa shchayv nivosa shel Uriah. The Uriah k'siv lachein beglalchem siyan sadatach harash. By Uriah, it says the prophecy of beglalchem, that because of your sins, Hatzion, the mountain, is going to be raised, is going to be destroyed. It's going to become a field for plowing. And Bishchai Yiksiv, Oid Yeshvu Zekeinim, Zekeinim Zebrechovis Yerushalayim. And by Zechariah, it says that they're going to be, Zechariah promises, they're going to be old people who are going to be sitting peacefully, not afraid, sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. Until the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah that the Harabayis would become destroyed. I was afraid that perhaps what the Nevuah of Zechariah, the beautiful, beautiful promise of the future, will not be fulfilled. Now that the prophecy of Uriah has been fulfilled, and Hartzion is shomei, and the mountain is desolate, and Shualim takehilchubay, and there are animals running around.
and see on Soda Techrash. So now be a doish in the Vosusil Scharyim is Kayemis. Now it's absolutely clear and certain that the prophecy of Zechariah, of the old people sitting peacefully on this, sitting on the benches of Yerushalayim, that prophecy will be fulfilled. And then they told him, Akiva Nechamtonu, which is the meaning of Nachamu Nachamu twice. Akiva Nechamtonu, Akiva, you have consoled us, you have comforted us. Akiva Nechamtonu. So now let's understand, according to what we learn, we can understand what Rabbi Akiva is saying. He's saying, Moirai Rabbi, he's saying to his friends and his teachers, do you think that I don't see the Chaya running around just like you see? I see the Metzias. I see the barbed wire. I see the crematoria. I smell the smoke of human flesh the same way that you do. I also, if you look at me, he says, I also have a torn coat. I'm also crying. I feel the pain of what's happened. I'm also part of this world. I live in this world. Not like you have a lot of times people think that the tzaddikim have no shaykh because they don't know, and it's some like, you know, they're oblivious to reality. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm very familiar with the Metzias, the same like you. I understand the Metzias. And I see the same animal that you see. But there's a difference, Rabbi say. And from here we could take such a chizik to be mechazik armuna, which is the whole inyan of Pesach, is a hashpoh of amuna. It's the time of the Rosh Hashanah of amuna, as it says in Sfarim. Rabbi Akiva says this is the difference. By me there is no difference between what is and what's written. There's no difference between what is and what's written. The ne'emar, or the kemoish kosuv, that is written, and the reality, the metzias that we see with our eyes, Rabbi Akiva says, is to me one thing. In other words, I don't only live in the reality of the barbed wire and the smoke. I don't only live in the reality that I see with my eyes, although I understand it, and I see it, and I smell it. I see the churban. I see the shualim hulchul, but I see all of that. But I also live in the nevuah of Ayeshu Zekanim and Zekanis Berachovis Yushalayim. The prophecy by me is not just a vart. It's not a pshetl. It's not, I live that vart. Just like we saw Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, it's not because it's written that he rolled in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, that he loved Eretz Yisrael. It was him. Rabbi Akiva is saying, To me, when I learn a pasuk, when I hear these psukim, and when I see the fulfillment of a pasuk, to me the pasuk is not just saying what zol zayin, or like people say, the Eibush zol helfen, God should help you. It says in the pasuk, and you're falling asleep while you're saying, it'll be like this. It says this, kemesh kosov, kemesh kosov. And when a person's sitting shivalo aleinu, and somebody comes over and says, no, it says the erech something like this in a pasuk someplace, hamokim yinachem esem esor shayar velitz in Yerushalayim. May the mokim Hashem comfort you among the mourners of Sion and Yerushalayim. So, the person who's in mourning, even though he's respectful, and he closes his eyes and he says, amen. He's saying amen. He says, you know, it's a very beautiful pasuk. That's the 743rd time I heard it this week. Hamokim menachem esem b'sav shayar velitz in Yerushalayim. But do me a favor. Bring my child who died back into this room and skip the psukim. You know what? Skip the hamokim. Come on, amoichel on hamokim. Bring me back my child. Bring me back my father. Bring me back my mother. Bring me back my husband. Bring me back my wife. Bring me back my best friend. I'm moichel on the pasuk, on the commercial pasuk, on my shenema. We live in a disconnection between what's written and what is. And because of that, what's written doesn't change us. And therefore, you and I know a million psukim, all of us together, psukim, and chazals, and midrashim, and pirkei avos, and halachas. And all of it is k'maisa kosov, ma'asa ne'amar. K'maisa kosov, shevisa, Hashem l'negdi samud. While you're turning on the internet and looking at something you shouldn't look at. K'maisa kosov, shevisa, Hashem l'negdi samud. And you can have all four walls of your room, shivisi, shivisi, tsukim, vetlach. Somebody that you love died. Hamakim nachem eschem, shkoyach. You believe in the pasuk. What do you mean? You're a mammon. You keep mitzvahs, you keep Shabbos. You're not got to be a kaifer. But if you could trade in that pasuk for your kid, God forbid, to be in such a matzah. If you could trade in that pasuk for your husband, for your wife, if you could trade in that pasuk, or you would trade in the whole Tanakh to have that person back with you. All the K'maisha Kosos and Masha Nemas. And it's not because we're not Maminim. It's because of this terrible separation between what's written and the mitzias that is in front of our eyes. Therefore, what Rabbi Akiva was saying, Rabbi Akiva is saying, I know the bitter reality. I taste the mora the same way that you taste it. My clothing is torn. But I'm able to have a nechama. You know why I have a nechama? Because the prophecy of Zechariah about the old people relaxing in Yerushalayim, that prophecy by me is not something that's just written. In my place, I omit the word shenema, like Rashi said on the Gemara. Rashi took out the word shenema. Because by me, that pasuk of Yesh v'zekeinim v'zekeinis v'chayim v'zishalayim does live by me. It's alive by me. It's living in me. It's not less of a mitzias in my life. It's not less of a mitzias than the barbed wire and the shualim that are walking on the harabayas and the Kodesh Kedoshim. In Rabbi Akiva's eyes, the reality is also only a revelation of what's written in God's Tanakh. The fact that it's because it says in Tanakh, shualim hilchu bay. The misery of reality is itself the unfolding of God's Tanakh, of God's promise, of God's words. The misery and also what? And also the promises and the hope and the ischazkis. It's all the same God. It's all the same Tanakh. It's all one mahalach, one big plan. It's not that reality is reality, no. And what? And the good stuff is a pasuk. K'maisha Kosov. In Rabbi Akiva's world, there are no shu'alim shel achshav. You understand? What does that mean? In Rabbi Akiva's world, the shu'alim, these animals in the Kodesh Kedoshim, are the animals of the pasuk in Tanakh. And the same God who revealed through his prophet that this is what's going to happen, the same God revealed to us, Oy Yeshu Zekeinim Zekeinis Bruchavis Yushalayim. The same God. And because Rabbi Akiva was able to bind together the reality of what he saw before his eyes with what's written in Tanakh, because it's all just what Hashem told us is and will be. Because of that, he was able to laugh also at the same time while he was crying. He was able to laugh at the same time as crying. Rabbi Akiva says, listen, I knew this pasuk. I always read this pasuk, Tzion Sadeh Techrash, that Hartzion is going to be destroyed, it's going to be desolate. I read this pasuk. And I also read the pasuk, Shualim Hilchav. I read all of these psukim.
But now that I see that we've come to the fulfillment of this pasuk, to the oimek hara, to the depths of despair of this horrible mitzvah of what's right down in Yerushalayim, at this very same moment it ignites within me the taste of the other pasuk of Oid Yeshiva Zakenim Zakenis Bruchavis Yerushalayim. And the Chachamim said, Akiva Nichamton, Akiva Nichamton. Akiva, you've given us Nechama. You've given us Nechama because you've taught us how to look at reality through the eyes of Hashem Zabar, with the eyes of Emunah. You've taught us how to see reality as the unfolding of all of Hashem's words, and to see the good and the ra, the toiv and the ra, the churban and the binyan, the destruction and the rebuilding. It's all one mahalach. Two weeks ago in the Chabura, I mentioned just in passing that Reuven Feinstein, that he was in yeshiva one day in Staten Island. He was in yeshiva. This goes back a long time ago. And there were two bachrim who were having a disagreement, and they did the right thing. They went to the Rosh Yeshiva to ask the Rosh Yeshiva the shaila. What happened? Two bachrim, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven lent his portable tape recorder, his cassette recorder, he lent it to Shimon. Those tape recorders often have little strings on them. And what did Shimon do? Shimon was twirling around the tape recorder. He never expected the wall of the yeshiva to suddenly get in the way. And sure enough, he broke the tape recorder. So Reuven Tainis, you owe me a tape recorder. You borrowed my tape recorder. You owe me a tape recorder. Shimon's tainus is that you lent me the tape recorder, and people, it has a string of the normal way of doing that. But I wasn't doing anything unusual. It's an accident. It was an accident. So you're going to make me pay because there was an accident? So they went to the Rosh Hashiva, they went to Reuven with this shaila. And Rav Reuven said that he was devastated by the shaila. You know why? Because that year the boys were learning the Gemara Bava Metzia the whole year. And everybody knows that even if you just barely like passed, you know, the Bechina, everybody knows that when you borrow something, to say that you were an oimus, to say that it was an accident, it's not a good teretz. A person who borrowed a shaila is chayav b'oimus. Everybody knows that. If you borrowed something and you broke it, you have to pay. So Reuven couldn't believe it. The whole year, that's all the Rebbe is doing, with every chart on the blackboard. That a person is a shoyl, is high points, and the Bach is coming and saying, it was an accident, why should I pay? So Reuven, of course, told him, you borrowed it, of course you have to pay, you broke it. You're responsible if you borrow something. An accident is not an excuse, right? But then he went to his father, he went to Rav Moshe Zechasadov Kozlovar, he went to Rav Moshe. And he was so upset, he says to his father, that, what's going on? The whole year he's learning the Gemara, and they come to me, both of them come to me like this, what's the din? The whole year the Rebbe's telling them the din, that a shul is high bonds, and it comes and he doesn't know. The kids, the boys, they don't know. So the gist of what Ramesha said was that the boys are learning Mishnayos and Gemaras. When they were little, sukkah meant to sit in the sukkah. Brachas meant to make a brach. As kids. As they got older, life got more complicated, and the Gemaras got more complicated, and then they began to see, like, there are 25 different shittas about a sukkah, 25,000 shittas about a sukkah. And brachas became much more complicated. So at some point, they began to feel that what? That really what I'm learning has no bearing upon my life. If we all just got one Gemara, the Gemara just said, on sukkah, sit in the sukkah. Don't ask any questions. There's no Havaminas, there's no Taisvises. Just sit in the Sukkah. Don't ask any questions. And if Masechta Brachos says, just what? Say Kriyas Shema Davar Shemoneh Esrei, make Brachos. That's what they're doing as children. But what happened is when they came into the class, when they start growing up, and they start to hear 1,000 kashas. And then it goes beyond that. Then they come to Bava Metzia, and all they're hearing all day long is about cows, and this guy's about him, and that guy's the closest he ever got to an animal was at a Bronx Zoo. And everybody knows it's almost Cholamoid. I never saw an animal in the Bronx Zoo. You can ask the kids, we've been to the Bronx Zoo. I don't remember ever seeing an animal. They always tell you under construction. That. So I never know if it means that place or the behemoth, but it's always under construction. Or they tell me, no, Nebuch, this animal is sleeping. Or this animal doesn't feel well. The only thing you get to see is when you go to the caves and just see stuff in glass things. But like you're coming, you want to show the kids like a lion or something. You want to show a chosh of a thing, a giraffe. No, there's never anything there. Being repaired, under construction. Sir Reuven said, look what's happening. As they get older, they learn these Gemaras. The Gemaras, they start to think, what does this have a shaykhis to my life? It has nothing to do with my life. Ad kedei kach, is the Torah, do they begin to feel that the Torah is not alive and it's removed from their existence? That there's an unbelievable disconnect between what is written in the Gemara, and when it came to this story, the kid waves the tape recorder and smashes it against the wall, and he says, what's the halach? I don't know what the halach is. You know why? Because it's Kamesha Kosev, it's Masha Nehemiah. It's written in the Gemara, but it's not written in his life. It's not etched upon his life. All of our problems with being Jews comes from this separation between what's written and what is. Rabbi Akiva lifted everybody up to that madrega where there's no longer separation between what's written and what is. And now we come to the night of the Seder. We come to the night of Pesach. The whole avodah of the night of Pesach, with this yisod we could understand. The whole avodah of that night of Pesach, which is coming up soon, the whole avodah is to try to finally break out of that Yiddishkeit of Kemoshe Kosev Masha Nehemar, a Yiddishkeit of what is written, a Yiddishkeit of quoting Psukim, a Yiddishkeit of saying over Gemaras, a Yiddishkeit of saying, I'm Jewish because my father told me, my mother told me, my Rebbe told me. On the night of the Seder Chayav, Adam Liris is Atzma Kilehu Yotzim Mitzrayim. On the night of Pesach, the Jew has this Hashpah that comes from Shemayim, and the Jew can be lifted up to a place of what? Chayav Adam Liris is Atzma Kilehu Yotzim Mitzrayim. And everybody knows that he himself is leaving. The Svadah Shayyidim, they go mamish, they go around the table like they're leaving Mitzrayim. And we do many things in the Seder, we don't have time to go into it. It's not Masha Kosev, it is written. It's we're going, we're leaving. You remember I told the guys the other day in the Chabura, or Erev Shabbos, I think I said, by the Michas Elazar. The Michas Elazar was walking Erev Pesach late in the afternoon. He was walking with his gabbai, and the Michas Elazar said, oh, halavai, we should be zeichet to be Pesach in Yerushalayim, to eat the Korban Pesach. So the gabbai said what any of us would have said. The gabbai said, Rabbi, in all due respect, according to my husband, it's already past the time of the Seder in Yerushalayim. It's already, whatever, six, seven hours ahead. According to my cheshbon, it's not possible. So the Michas Elazar looked at him and said, you could stay in Munkach with your cheshbonis. I'm going to Yerushalayim. You stay in Munkach. You have a cheshbon. It's a good cheshbon. I'm going to Yerushalayim. That's how the Chassam Sofer explains why we don't make a bracha. The famous question, how come we don't make a bracha on the Haggadah? And the Mitzvah tells me a story of Yitzchak Zion the night of Pesach. So the Chassam Sofer says, we make it later on. Which bracha, Rabbi Thenu? Asher Go'alanu, the Go'alas Amoseinu. But we say that later on. The same way that a ger cannot make the bracha before he goes to the mikvah, because he's still not Jewish. So the Chassam Sofer says, you know how we live Yitzchak Zion Pesach night? That at the first half of the Seder, we didn't leave yet. So we can only say the bracha of Asher Go'alanu V'Go'alas Amoseinu when? After the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because that's when we're leaving. We can't make the bracha earlier in the Seder. We didn't leave yet. Like the ger can't make a bracha before he goes into the water. Before he's Teufel. He has Nishkan Yid. He can't make a bracha. He's not Jewish. After he goes down once, he can make a bracha.
And that is the Oymek Rabbi of the Maisa. We come back to the Maisa. The Maisa Rabbi Seinu, let's finish up now. Rabbi Seinu Shahim Subnim Bnei Brak. So the same Tzaddikim, the Gedolei Hador, are sitting in Bnei Brak. The question that the Mefarshim asks is, why did they go to Bnei Brak? And everybody knows that who was the Rav of Bnei Brak? No? Rabbi Kiva was the Mordasa of Bnei Brak. It's a palace. Rabbi Kiva was the youngest of all of them. That they came to Rabbi Kiva, to Bnei Brak, Rabbi Kiva's Rav. And Rabbi Lozman of Yeshua were his rebellion. Rabbi Lozman of Yeshua were his rabbis. And everybody comes to Bnei Brak to Rabbi Akiva. Hello, what are we talking about? When did this thing take place? Again, I there's no time to go into the protim of this. It's very late and everybody's tired. This Seder took place after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rav Reuven Margolis and all the other Mefarshim talk about this. It took place after the Churban, because if it was before the Churban, they wouldn't be there. They'd be in Yerushalayim eating the Korban Pesach. And you know what? There is evidence in Chazal, in different places, that this was the first Pesach after the Churban. The first Pesach after the Churban. So who did they go to? Who could they go to if not Rabbi Akiva? Because they were desperately in need of his chazkes. They were desperately in need of Nechama. And therefore, they came to that same Jew, Rabbi Akiva, who had those Rabbi Akiva eyes. The eyes of Nicham Tonu Akiva, Nicham Tonu. The Rabbi Akiva who was able to see reality through the eyes of Masha Kosuf, through the eyes of Tanakh, to see the good, the bad, to see the binyan, the building and the destruction, to see all of it. All of it is the Dvar Hashem, is the Rabbi Shalom speaking to us every second of our lives. So they came to Rabbi Akiva. Because they knew that even though true they were his Rebbeim and they were Gedolei Le'olam, but the bitterness of the Metzius was so great. So they wanted to go to that person, Rabbi Akiva. Why to Rabbi Akiva? Because they did not want to have that first Seder after the Churban, to have a Seder of quoting Tzukim and quoting Chazals. You and I could get away with that. You say a couple of nice things, you say something from the Gra, you say something from the Tzaddik, another Tzaddik, you say Chassam Sefer, you sing a couple of Nagunim, you eat a little bit, Shir Hashem Shlufim. And for us it's enough. If you or I were just climbing out of Auschwitz and Mauthausen, it wouldn't be enough to quote Pesukim at the Seder. So they came to Rabbi Akiva, the one who gave them the Chomer by the Kotzer Gadoshim. And they came to Rabbi Akiva and said, Rabbi Akiva, it's not enough. We don't want to just talk about Mitzrayim. We don't want to just quote Pesukim and quote different places from Tanakh and Chazal. We know all the Pshatlach. We know the whole Torah. But Rabbi Akiva, you have such a way of giving Nechama. You have such a way of lifting us up out of what? Out of the reality into that place of the real reality, which is the Rabbi Yerushalayim Tanakh, which is the moon of Hashem, belief in God and His promises. That's not any less of a Metzius than the Metzius of misery that we're living in. Because the Sapir, they came for the story, you see, from the Sapir doesn't mean just to tell a story. The Ariya Kodesh and all the Chassidim tell us that the Sapir means, in the word Sapir, it means to light up the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to make it clear, like a sapphire, shining bright. That's what we need right now after the Churban. A regular Seder won't do. So look now. We're talking about the Tzaddik in Bnei Brak. First, and they're telling, but Mesaprim, shining the light of Yetzias Mitzrayim Kolos HaLaila, living Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just talking about it, being there. Oysonu Haitzim Misham Kolos HaLaila. Ad Shabo Talmidei Rabbi Lahem Rabbi Seinu. He gives my Christmas Shachas. So the students came and said, Rebbein, Tzaddikim, it's the time Christmas Shachas. And then what's right afterwards? That was the question we had at the beginning. I'm already 70 years old, like 70 years old. I never heard this din, the drasha ben zama. I didn't understand that what? That you say Yitzias Mitzrayim by Kriya Shema even when? No? Even at night.
So now we understand. But we could only understand when you look in the Nusach of the Haggadah of the Rambam. There's one word. The Temanim, the Yemenite Jews, say the Rambam's Haggadah. Word for word. You know what it says in the Rambam's Haggadah? It doesn't say, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, like some separate quote that belongs in the Gemara Brachos. In the Rambam's Haggadah, what's the Temanim say? It says, Amar Lahem Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What's the difference? That one word, Lahem, what does it mean? It means that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was saying that when? In Bnei Brak, that mysterious, amazing night of the Seder in Bnei Brak after the Churban. Not that it's some separate Gemara, some other time. That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said a din in Krishna. He said, Amar Lahem. He said to them, to the students, to everybody that was there, Amar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That I never knew, I never understood clearly till I heard Rabbi Akiva, till I said over the drasha. Now I understand the drasha of Ben Zayma, that Yitzias Mitzrayim is by you say Krishma. You say Yitzias Mitzrayim by Krishma even at night. Because the students were coming and they were saying, hey, look at Tzaddikim, holy teachers. You're telling over Maisim about Yitzias Mitzrayim. But in the meantime, we're hiding in a cave. Like a bunch of thugs, like a bunch of murderers that we have to hide in our own country. We can't drive on the roads, we can't go in the streets, we can't go up to the Harabais in our own country. The Jews have to hide in Eretz Yisrael. The Tzaddikim have to hide in Bnei Brak in a cave somewhere. And we're afraid to walk outside, there's a fear of death. The streets are covered with dead bodies from the Churban and the aftermath of the Churban. And the Saint Tzaddikim, all we taste in our lives is one thing, maror, maror, that's it, bitterness. And tomorrow morning, they said, tomorrow morning is going to be another miserable morning. It's very nice Pesach night, k'moysha ne'mar, k'moysha kosuv. It's very nice. We're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but l'maisa, tomorrow morning, we're still going to be hiding over here. And tomorrow morning, we're still running from the Nazis. Even though we have such a nice Seder. In other words, the separation between the dream and the promise of being a Jew and God's promise to us and what we're dreaming about and the ideal that we were told as children, that we were promised by our parents and grandparents, is so far removed from the reality of what's in the streets of Bnei Brak in Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael. There's such an unbelievable separation, a gap, an abyss that separates between what we're talking about, all the commercial cultures, and the reality of our lives, which is maror. So the same Rabbi is saying, Higiyas Ma Kriyas Shachris Tzaddikim, isn't it time already for Shachris? Isn't it time for the night to be over? Isn't it enough psukim? Can't we come to the end of the night? He gives my Christmas chakras. So in that place, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to them, what does that mean? He says, until now, I have to tell you, he says to the Talmidim, I didn't fully absorb the Torah of Tzipis Eli Yeshua, of what it means, like Rabbi Akiva knows, to long for redemption, to believe in redemption, to see thee with the eyes of Rabbi Akiva, and to have a nechama by seeing everything that happens in life as the unfolding of the Dvar Hashem. And therefore, I didn't know that it's possible to live Yitzias Mitzrayim even by Leilois, even in the night, to say Yitzias Mitzrayim even in the night. Of course he knew the din. Actually, Darsha ben Zayma, Yitzias Mitzrayim by Leilois means more than that. Yitzias Mitzrayim means, as that din is from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that he brings a drasha from ben Zayma, it means not just one night of the year. He said, Talmidai, my students, he says to the Talmidim, Actually, Darsha ben Zayma, that there's a din of saying what? Of saying Yitzias Mitzrayim every night of the year. Every night of disappointment.
Every night of pain, every night of suffering, every night that's good, every night that's bad, every night when there's a chasna, every night when there's a levaya, every night a Jew can be mischazik and say kriyishma, can say the parash of Yitzias Mitzrayim ba'aleilois in the evening of his life, despite the pain, despite the yisurim, despite the golus, despite the fact that he's wearing torn clothing, he can still tell a joke, he can still somehow summon up a smile and a laugh to know that the same God who promised this misery promises delight and joy and redemption beyond anything, beyond any suffering. So Lozman Isaiah's Amalam, he says, that Rabbi Akiva took us, he transported us into this world of the Metzias of Hashem's promises. Not just it's written, not just the Gemara says that if a guy borrows a tape, if a guy borrows something and he gets messed up, it's an accident, you know, he's chayav. It's not just because it says to roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. It's that's what Rabbi Akiva lifted them up to that place. To enter into that world of Yitzhak Yisrael, even by Layla, is to live as a free man. To be free even in the night. To be free to laugh. To be free to believe in Hashem's promises even though the Metzias is bitter. And now we can understand, to end a half-a-dick thing in the Mishnah. Actually, this is just 2 hours ago I was thinking about this. In the Gemara there in Pesachim, in the Mishnah, there's a machlokes Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva with the nusach of the bracha that we just said of Asher Golan. There's a machlokes. The chaysen begula, the Mishnah says that you end that bracha with gula, with gal. You end it with gula, with redemption. Rabbi Tarfon Oimer. This is how Rabbi Tarfon said. Asher Golanu the galus avosenim mitzrayim. That's how he ended the bracha. Hashem redeemed us, our ancestors, us and our ancestors, He redeemed us from Egypt. That's Rabbi Tarfon. But there wasn't any chasima beyond that. It was Asher Goalanu, v'goalas avosenim mitzrayim. According to Rabbi Tarfon, that's where the bracha ends. Baruch atah Asher Goalanu, v'goalas avosenim mitzrayim. Finished. Rabbi Kiva taught that there's an ending to the bracha, there's an end to the misery. Listen to what he said. I don't know if this, you know what it says in Agada. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Kein Hashem l'keinu v'lekeinu v'seinu yegiyenu l'me'adam l'regolam acherim. Don't just say, Ashagola, Gola, Gola, Savasainu. Amulus Gavain, it happened. Kemoisha Nema. Kein, he says, Rabbi Kiva. Always Rabbi Kiva. Consistent Rabbi Kiva. Stable, sturdy Rabbi Akiva. Cain, Hashem, Cain, 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 the same way he took us out, the Zaydis and the Bobbies, and he took them out. Cain, Hashem, Cain, 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 soon I thought it's going to be what? Of the Yom Kippur, it's going to be what? Aborim, look, Cain, Lushalim, Smeichim, Bibinyan, Yerecha. We will rejoice in the rebuilding of your city. The Sosim, Abba, the Sechem, and rejoice in what? In serving Hashem and Beis HaMikdash, and we will eat there from the Zvachim and the Psalm, the Psalm and the Zvachim. And when we read that in the Haggadah, and that's how, of course, that's what we say in the Haggadah, like Rabbi Akiva. So we say, Akiva Nichamtonu. You gave a Chasima, which has the word Nichamtonu a little bit in it too. You gave a Chasima. You're telling us, you're the one that gives us strength to know that there's an end, there's a Chasima, that there's a Gemara Chasima Torah to being a Jew. Kein Hashem Kein Yidiyenu, so it will be. Many times over the years, I mentioned to you, I told you the Meisa, it happened by the Radishitzer, the Psoche Be'er, the Alter, the Tzadik from Radishitz, that it was time, it was Shalashudas in Radishitz, and it was already dark over there. And the Rabbi said to the Rebbe, didn't come into the table. And he called over his nephew, he sent over the guy to get his nephew. And the nephew went, the Rabbi said to the Rebbe, was sitting in the next room. And all of the chassidim in the dark, by that tish, by that shalosh shivas, all of the chassidim, right away, of course, planted their ears on the wall to hear what was happening. Well, if they could catch something, what was happening, why did the Rebbe take his nephew to the next room?
And they heard the most delicious, the most beautiful laughter that they've ever heard. Because they didn't usually hear the Rebbe laughing. And he heard the Rebbe laughing and his nephew laughing. And he heard them, and the Chassidim heard the Rebbe and his nephew singing and laughing. And they didn't know what it was, but they were so happy just to hear the Rebbe laugh. And they stood there like that, and then 2 minutes later, they heard the Rebbe crying and wailing, and the nephew crying. After Shabbos was over, of course, everybody attacked the nephew. And they asked him what happened with the Rebbe over there. And the nephew said that when I came to the room, it was dark. And the Rebbe, my uncle, was standing by the window, and he called me over to look out the window. And he said, I'm telling you the truth, I promise to you, that when I looked out the window, I saw past Radishitz. I saw past Poland. I saw all the way to Yerushalayim. And I saw a yeshiva zakenim zakenis b'chai b'shem. I saw the old people and the children on the streets of Yerushalayim. And everything was lit up. I saw together with my uncle, the Rebbe, how it's going to be. And that's when you heard us singing and you heard us laughing and dancing from the next room. So the Chassidim said, so what happened? So then he said, that suddenly the Rebbe put his hand on my eyes. He covered my eyes for a second. And he took his hand off my eyes. I saw how much suffering there's going to be here in Poland, in this place. I saw what's going to be here for Jews and in other places for Jews until that day will come, until that day of Mashiach will come. And that's when you heard us crying. Hashem is Baruch should help us. So many years of saying the Haggadah. So many years of saying, like I say at the end of every single talk, Shiredi be the Gula Hashem Va'amitis. So many years of Kamaisha Kasa, Kamaisha Ne'amar. So many years that the vision, that looking, somehow trying to look beyond the corpses and beyond the crematorium, beyond the Churban, and beyond, that trying to look beyond all of that, trying to somehow catch a glimpse of the way Yerushalayim is going to be. You know, one of the guys made for me on the computer, a picture of the Kaisel without the mosque. Because you could do that. You could do it with the camera. Nothing means anything anymore with the picture. Because they could make it. You could change it you touch it up. So one of the chevra gave me a picture of Yerushalayim of the Kaisel without the mosque. And I have to admit, Barabim, that I never put it up, and I never would hang it up. Not until that day that I could see that myself. Such a picture. Because it's make-believe. And I'm tired of the make-believe. I'm tired of the make-believe. It's time for that tumah to be removed, l'maisa. It's time that the Kamesha Kosovs, that each and every one of us is going to walk into that Yerushalayim that the Radishitz saw that night in Radishitz in Poland. But he saw that night what was going to be after the Holocaust. And then he took his nephew back to show him the Holocaust. And I've thought of that story a million times. And when is it going to be, Rabbi Sein Hagiyas Makriyas Shem Shoshachas? When is it going to be that it's going to be passed already, the ashes, and passed the Shu'alim Hilchubai, and it's going to already be in that place of the Metzius, of what the Radishes saw for that moment? On Leil Pesach, each and every one of us can somehow taste epis min ha'psachim, min ha'zvachim, min ha'zvachim, min ha'psachim. We could somehow taste it. We could feel a little bit. We could feel a little bit of ha'isanu ha'itzi misham. Not just psukim. Not just mamari chazal. Not just whimsical, nice ideas, cute things. And to show the children the little medrash, the little haggadah says, or this thing, or the pictures, and the kids take it very seriously, right? The children get all excited about it. It's not a problem, like it says in the Haggadah, we have to keep the kids awake. The problem's not with the children are awake, we are the problem. The children have to keep us awake, that we're falling asleep. Because the children see the Nevuahs and they see the Haggadah the same way they see outside in the street. But to us, it's a Ma'isa Shehoya. Hamul is Givain, a Ma'isa Shehoya. Ma'isa Shehoya. Hashem Azbar should lift us up to the place of Rabbi Akiva. So by the time you say Shir Shirim, each and every one of us personally will hear Rabbi Akiva lean over and whisper. And each and every one of us will say, Akiva, Nichamtanu, Nichamtanu. He at least gave me a feeling tonight. A feeling tonight that to be a Jew is not just something that's written. To be a Jew is something that you live. And living as a Jew means b'damayichai. You mean sometimes giving up your blood to be a Jew. But in the end, it's going to be all kedai. Every single second is going to be kedai. We should be zoichim et Hashem to dance with the Rabbi Shesser and his nephew. To jump over the ashes and to come to that place of Yerushalayim with Oy Yeshu Zakenus, the Binyan Yerushalayim, Begula Hashem Vahamitis Vesechazene, Einenu Beshuv Chalitzin Berachman. Each and every one of you should have a liftiger kosher Pesach, and we should be Zoche Bez Hashem to forget about all the Chashboinus and to be together with the Michas Alazab Yerushalayim this year.